told my second Sanhedrin, Yud Tet Amud Bet. It's interesting that last week, I don't know if you looked at the stuff, Rabbi Abraham, last week we were looking at comforting the Kohen in his morning. That was the section we were looking at. Everything's in the down. Tov. But we're on Yud Tet Amud Bet. Two thirds of the way down.
That's 19B.
19B3. Smoking along now. And we're coming towards the end of this second perek. We have been looking at the king and the Kohen Gadol. And the last thing we looked at was whether or not a king is allowed to waive his honor, whether he can do Yibum Chalitza or not. Different views. That brought us onto a topic of King David and whether or not the king is allowed to marry the widow of a previous king. So the question was, did we see that with King David? Did he marry the widows of the previous king of Shaul? Because it says in the passage that Hashem gave him the women of his master's house. So the Gemara argued, said no, it didn't mean his wives. Actually meant his children. Who were they? Merab and Michal. So David married Merab and Michal. So then we said, wait a minute, how can that be? They're two sisters, you're not asked by two sisters. So one, Rabbi Yossi said that it meant first he married Merab and after she died he married Michal. That's allowed. Rabbi Yehuda said differently. Said Rabbi Yeshua Ben Kocha said no, actually he did apparently marry both of them, but the marriage to Merab wasn't a real marriage because it wasn't halakhically technically correct. Because the value of the marriage was the basis of King David said, whoever kills Goliath, I will make him rich. I will give him a lot of money. And the Gemara learned out that debt, which Shaul now owed to King David, David swapped it, if you like, as kedushin. And the Gemara learns out halakhically you can't do that. You can't waive a debt. Waiving a debt is not value for kedushin, for getting married. Right? You need to have at least a pruta of value. So then we looked at. So that's how he. So he married, so to speak, Merab in that fashion. And it wasn't technically valid, so there was no marriage. So that's fine. So he never really married her. In terms of Michal, King David, Shaul said to him, go and get me 100 foreskins of Palestinians, of Philistines.
We had first killed them, then...
Yeah, he either went to the local mohel and dug around in his bin, or he went and killed them. So presumably he went and killed them all, and took right, and then brought them back. And now he had a loan, which he still owed him, because he hadn't paid him, and 100 foreskins in payment for Michal. So the question was that enough? So then there were two halakhic views. First of all, it says when you've got a loan and you've got something worth a pruta, then the person's intention is on the loan because there's a big amount and the pruta they ignore. But that was Shaul's view. Shaul said, you didn't marry my daughter, Michalida, because we had this loan and that was your intention. You weren't intending the pruta worth of value in the foreskin. But David held differently. He held halakhic. You know, you have a loan of $1 million and you have that you're cancelling, and you have a pruta that you're actually giving across, then the person's mind is on the pruta, and it's a valid value, it's a valid kiddushin. So I hold that I did marry Michal. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Ibai Tema, alternatively you can say that's not the dispute. They both held that in the case of a loan plus a pruta, that it's good value for kiddushin. But what was the machloket? Machloket was whether or not 100 foreskins was worth a pruta or not. So according to Shah, they weren't worth a pruta, and therefore, sorry, you didn't make it. And according to David, no. David said you could feed them to the cats and dogs. So that's got value. At least a pruta, and therefore that was a valid consummation, a valid kiddushin. So top. That was yesterday's exciting Gemara. At the end of that, we saw that the Gemara brought in, incidentally, a pasuk which seemed strange, which suggested that Michal. So what happened? So Merav was married off to a chap called Adriel, and Michal was married off to a chap called Palti Ben Laish, right? But it says about Michal that she bore 5 sons to Adriel. And the girl says, wait a minute, she wasn't married to Adriel. She was given to Palti Ben Laish. Right? So why does it say she bore 5 sons to Adriel? So then the Gemara concludes, she raised them. And the one who raises them is considered to be like the one who gives birth to them. So that was the end of yesterday's sugya. But going on the back of that, we're now looking at, where are we now? Rabbi Hanina. So about 2/3 of the way down, there's brackets across the line. And then there's 2 dots. 2 dots and 2 dots. So after the second 2 dots, Rabbi Hanina.
What are the brackets?
So the brackets are apparently a mnemonic, which you either have or you don't have in the text, depending on whether or not you understand it. Read the brackets. Which Hanina, Kara, Yochanan, Veishtor, Elazar, Gula, Shmuel, Remember Days, Siman. So all of those are Simanim for the next however many 6, 7, 8 paragraphs that we're going to learn, which all are roughly, which in this section we're going to see. Okay, so the first one is Hanina, Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina Amei Mechacha. Rabbi Hanina says, no, you learn it from here. You learn what from here? So it's going back on the previous sugya. Previous sugya, we said that we learned from the fact that Michal was cited as bearing Adriel's children, that actually we learn from here that anyone who raises children is as if they gave birth to them. So now the Gemara is, Rabbi Hanina is saying, no, I learned it from somewhere else. I learned it from a different place. So he learned it from here, the Tikra Ena Lo Hashchenot Shem Lemor Yulad Ben Lenaomi. Right, famous story, Book of Ruth, we read on Shavuot. When Ruth gave birth after marrying Boaz, so we see that Naomi raised up the child, which is very interesting why she had to do that, or why she did do that, but anyway, she did. And people said, a son is born to Naomi. So the Gemara says, the chi Naomi yalda, but did Naomi bear this child? No. Hala Rut yalda. Rut was the one who bore him. Ella Rut yalda, but Naomi gidla. Rather, Rut bore him and Naomi raised him. Lefichach nekrao shema. Therefore, he was called on her name. So that was Rav Hanina's proof for the same idea. We're not done. We've got further proofs as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Michacha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I'll give you a different proof from here. What's that? Pasuk said, V'ishto ha-Yehudiya yalda et yered avi gdor v'chulei. Right? And his wife, Yehudiya, bore Yered, the father of Gedor. So whose wife? Here the wife is Caleb. Caleb, who knows, who did Caleb marry? Rav Hanan, good to see you. Caleb married Rav Yoel. Who did Caleb ben Yefunah marry? Caleb. Caleb.
He married someone's sister.
He married a baby guy.
No, you
could have been.
He married Anna Cohen's. Anna Cohen's daughter. I don't
know. How about your true?
Caleb Cornelia married.
Josh. Oh, so?
US,
Caleb Ben Yefune married Bitya. Bitya. Batya, Bitya. Bitya. Who was that? Paro's daughter. Married Paro's daughter.
She converted?
Yes. Hopefully.
I was thinking maybe Aaron the Cohen married Nachshon Ben. Maybe he married Yefune's sister or something like that?
Yeah, could be.
Something like one of them?
Yeah, Shua married, you know, Shua married. Yeah, married. Racha.
What?
From Yeriko. And last week's Pasha. Rechav.
She converted.
They were very righteous women. They were huge.
She did Shuva.
She was a Moshe. As Rav Hanan was saying, that she was going to the river to convert to toil. Midrash. Holy women.
The one
who took Moshe out of the river. Married Caleb. Caleb would be the generation above Moshe then. According to that, he would be an elder. However the ages worked, don't know. Tough. Anyway. Okay, so tough. So what's this passage? So the passage says, and his wife, that means Caleb's wife, Yehudia was another name for Bitya. Okay, so Caleb's wife Yehudia, meaning Bitya, bore Yered, father of Gedor. These are the sons of Bitya, the rest of the Pasuk, Ve'ele b'nei Bitya, bat paro asher lakach lo mered. These are the sons of Bitya, the daughter of Pharaoh, who married. Right, that's in Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles. Okay. He married to Mered and then. Right, apparently yes. So the Gemara explains, Mered ze Caleb. Mered is another name for Caleb. Everyone had different names back then. It was very confusing. Right. Also, I've got about three different names. My wife also. So anyway, Mered ze Caleb. Everyone changing their name. But Lama ne Krashmo Mered. So why was he called Mered if his name was actually Caleb? Answer: Shemared ba'atzad maraglim. He was married. Mered means to rebel. He rebelled in the matter of the spies. From the advice at Eitzat Maraglim.
But that was good. Because there is rebelling against the evil.
Yes. So the word rebellion doesn't necessarily have to have a negative connotation. It just means to go against. Okay. So the Gemara is not done yet. We're trying to prove over here about someone growing up someone else's children. So the Gemara says, "V'chi Bitya yalda." Wait a minute. Did Bitya bear? Well, who did she bear? So it says in this pasuk that she bore Yered, father of Gedor, who was apparently. Hold on. The names listed: Yered, Chever, and is a name for Moshe. Yered is a name for Moshe. So the Gemara said, wait a minute, did she bear Moshe? No. Bitya didn't bear Moshe. She threw him out the window. She didn't bear him. which is good, that's our proof. Ala Yocheved Yalda, Yocheved Bo Moshe, Ela Yocheved Yalda Ubitya Gidla, the Fichach Nikbar Shema. Rather, Yocheved bore him, and Bitya raised him up, and therefore he is called on her name. Yered and then Moshe had like 17 different names, wasn't he? He had a lot of different names. If you look in Megillah, Daf Yud-Gimel Amud Aleph, it explains over there each of the names that Moshe was given and why he was given all of those different names, what they meant. Homework. Anyone who wants homework?
Yeah.
Okay. Tov. Last one. Rabbi Elazar Amar Mihacha. Rabbi Elazar says from a different place, from over here. Tehillim it says, Ga'alta bizroa amecha b'nei Yaakov Yosef Selah. With a powerful arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. So the Gemara says, or Rabbi Elazar says, V'chi Yosef Yalad. Could it be, did Yosef give birth to them? No, it was Yaakov. We're talking about Am Yisrael, who were the descendants of Yaakov, upon the 12 tribes. So why does it say, Amcha b'nei Yaakov v'Yosef? Why is Yosef included as giving kilu b'nei Yaakov? Answer, V'alo Yaakov, wait a minute, V'alo Yaakov Yalad. It was Yaakov that fathered them. Ela Yaakov Yalad v'Yosef Kilkel. Yaakov bore them, and Yosef Kilkel, sustained, financed them, right? Provided the food. Lefichach Nikra'u al Shmo. Therefore they're called upon his name. Right? So you see here, greatness of raising children, that they're called upon your name, even if you don't give birth to them. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says the name Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hamalamed Ben Chaveiro Torah, anyone who teaches his the son of his friend Torah, Ma'alel Al HaKetuv Ki'ilu Yaldo, the pasuk is said about him as if he fathered them. Shnei Amar, like it says, Ve'ele Toldot Aharon U'Moshe. So now we're learning something slightly different, but similar thing, from a pasuk that says, these are the generations, Aaron u'Moshe, u'Ketiv, and then after that it's written, Ve'ele Shemot b'nei Aharon, and these are the names of the sons of Aaron. Right, so first of all it says, these are the generations of Aaron and Moshe, both of them. Then it gives the names of the sons of Aaron. So now we're kind of indicating here that the sons of Aaron are part of the generation of Moshe, like part of his descendants. How can that be? Lomed lecha, it comes to teach you, Aharon yalad, u'Moshe limed. Aaron bore them, but Moshe taught them. Lefichach nikra shmo. Therefore they're called upon his name. Yofi. That's why you've got the siman at the beginning in the brackets, because you've got it's all talking the same thing, so just to remember them all in order. That's this one. In Limudei, he taught them. In Shmuel Limudei. He taught them. Okay.
Does Rashi say anything?
Usually says a few things, but I think not a lot in this area. He's just explaining the pshat that we already have anyway from the old school translation. Okay, let's move on. Lachen. Sorry, this is another from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Lachen ko amar Hashem el Beit Yaakov asher pada et Avraham. Therefore, Hashem said to the house of Jacob, who freed Avraham. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. So the Gemara says, "V'chi yichan matzinu b'Yaakov shefado l'Avraham." Where do you find that Yaakov freed Avraham? And that's what the pasuk apparently says, chat. But where do you see that Yaakov freed Avraham? So we'll learn a drush from that instead. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Shepado mitza'a gidul vanim, that Yaakov freed Abraham from the tsa'ar, the pains, the difficulties of raising children. V'hainu dichtiv, and that's why it says, Lo ata yevosh Yaakov. Now Yaakov will not be ashamed. Lo ata yevosh Yaakov. Actually, the full passage of that, it doesn't give the rest of it. The first bit is lo ata yevosh Yaakov. Let's find it in Torah or reason. Now here we go. Lachen ko amar Hashem el Beit Yaakov asher pada et Avraham. So that's the beginning of the verse that we just read. Right, therefore Hashem said to Beit Yaakov, the one who freed Avraham, Lo ata yevosh Yaakov, so you will now not be ashamed. Lo ata panav yechevau, and no longer will your face pale. So it says two different things. So the Gemara learns out from that. Lo ata yevosh Yaakov me aviv. So first of all, he will not be ashamed. That's me aviv. That's talking about his father, Yitzhak. But lo ata panav yechevau me avi aviv. From he won't be embarrassed because of his grandfather Abraham. So what does it mean that he won't be afraid or embarrassed? It means that. So that let's see what the Rashi has an explanation in the art scroll. But let's just see if Rashi says something. No, doesn't say. The art scroll here says that what's he not going to be embarrassed about? Mm-hmm. So embarrassed about the greatness of his father and the greatness of his grandfather. Why? Because it was Yaakov. the essence of the verse is it starts off with saying that he freed him. So the Gemara says he freed him from the sorrow, the difficulty of raising children. And now he raised the children, like that was on me. So the indication is that first of all, I took that off your hands. Meaning really, it was otherwise in Abraham's hands, his job to raise the 12 tribes. Didn't need to wait to three generations. The fact that Yaakov did it was, according to this understanding, a big zechut for him. Wasn't necessarily going to be that way. He took the difficulty onto his shoulders, the difficulty of raising those children, and therefore he wasn't embarrassed about the greatness of Yitzhak and the greatness of Abraham, because he instead had the monumental task of raising the Shvatim. Is the pshat of what it's saying. That's the explanation of the Iyun and Yaakov.
But more importantly, it's not only the children, but the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Because it continued. His influence continued on for many, many generations.
We have a message for everyone in the quarter. Mm-hmm. Today, in 5:30, Arab is bringing a bus. We are going to Hebron on the yeshiva.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. So we are writing down the names that will come with us. And I want to, if each and every one of you that want to come, I'm writing his name now. Okay? It doesn't cost money. Uh-huh. It's a prayer on Arab and on all of Israel and on the Tufim also.
No,
even in Mosheh Shabbat, friends will do it. So this is very important to us, to all of Israel.
Okay. When will we get when will we come back?
I'm not sure exactly, but all the time people coming back from there with cars and from the yeshiva.
I will come to
you. With a bus, there is a bus from the yeshiva. Arab brings the bus. It's a private bus.
Is the bus going back also?
It's not a coincidence. This is the parashat of Shavua, Shalach, parashat Shalach. We stay on parashat Shalach until Thursday. And in parashat Shalach, the only Caleb and Yehoshua, Caleb ben Yefune, went to Hebron to break the atzat of the Meragim. So this is the time that we need Yeshua. This is also in the parasha, and it also happened in reality. We need to connect it to see Hashgacha of Hashem. So this is Hashgacha of Hashem that brings us this bus to go on up to Hebron. It's not coincidence. There is no coincidence. Everything is Hashgacha
from Hashem.
Everything is from Hashem.
Tough. Okay. Can we find the next? Ken, okay. He was. No, he also had from Keturah as well, but from Japan.
Put my name down too.
Italia
Did you put my name out?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You're right, Mr. Yadukhavon,
Thanks. So, 5:30?
האוטובוס זה ביחד לקהל, זאת אומרת, יכול שלא לחזור אחרי הרבה זמן, כי אנשים צריכים לחזור הרבה יותר. היו שם אולי שעה פלוס, שעה, שעתיים, גג אולי, צריך לראות ביחד לקהל. יכול שכן, כבר בשמונה יחזור.
תודה.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So,
5:30?
Yeah.
Come back in the morning.
When the rabbi's going, you know, it's too late. So, take snacks. And a pillow.
Big snacks.
So when will we be getting that?
I have no idea. So, let's say 10, so minimum. Hour from here to get there. It doesn't, but let's say, get there 6:30, gonna stay there for minimum 2 hours. 2 hours. An hour he body built in, an hour fucking around. Right, 2 hours, that's 8:30 back, 9:30.
10.
Maybe
he's saying it's always
1 hour to the conquer the city.
Tov, all right, we'll see what happens. Shem wants.
Everything's good.
You know that? Everything's good. Where are we? So, that was the explanation of... So, there's a minor dispute, minor rift between Rashi and Tosfot, just over here. Rashi says the on the point that Shepatu Mitzah Gidul Banim, that he saved him from, he freed him from the sorrow, the difficulty of raising children. Rashi explains, Sheutala Lav Torah Hashpatim Sha'al Avraham Haya Mutal Oto Torah Dichtiv Behir Beitiet Derecha Behu Ado. Right, they took the sour of raising the children. Right, so Pshat of Rashi is that it's difficult to raise children, but Tosfos doesn't like that so much. Tosfos says that the gives a different explanation. It says that it's not really sour in raising children. Why? So because we know that Abraham raised children, right? Not only did he raise Yitzhak and Ishmael, he also fathered children from Keturah. Right, so he raised children, right? There's no problem with raising children. So what was the problem? The problem was the fact that these children were difficult. These particular ones, it was very difficult, right? Yaakov went through a tough time with them, right? Right. That's the bit he saved. It's not Sam that raising children is difficult. But these particular ones, that's what he saved them from. Oh, okay, anyway.
He had a buddy, right? He had a buddy also. Right?
Who? Ah,
I'm
right. That helps. Yeah.
But given the 17 years that he was in Egypt?
Yes.
He was also raising not only the children, but the grandchildren, the great grandchildren.
Manasseh and Ephraim. Well, Manasseh and Ephraim was considered to be Yaakov's generation. Yes.
Ephraim was 100 years old when he came to Israel.
Yes.
He said he was 40 years old when he came.
Yes, okay.
So then, Yaakov, how he was when he left his father?
Around
40. Because how many years he was not living in Soviet Union after from Yaakov?
He died, I think, the day that he sold the birthright. I think there's a midrash that says that that was the Shiva for Abraham. Is that right?
Right.
You heard that before?
Right.
That was a shiva of Abraham, that when he fed him the lentils. Yeah, maybe. When Yaakov fed Esav.
Esav did a lot of errors the day on purpose.
Right. It was like Krina or whatever.
He died before him. What did he say? Esav.
That's fine, at that point. Right. Who? He wasn't raising them. Yaakov saved him from that. No, Yaakov saved him from raising them. They didn't have to suffer through all those problems.
But he wasn't living
at the time. But he didn't have to, because he was meant to have the tribes. Abraham was meant to have 12 children, who would be the Shvatim and the Chulim Kule. That's the understanding of the verse.
But he cannot, because that's only a set.
Yeah, that's only because now we know that. But then it would have been a different plan. Chesed, no, don't need Gevurah, don't need Tiferet. I know, maybe. It would be different. Now we know that that's the way it came out.
That's why they say that the exile started with the birth of Yitzhak. So the clock was starting it for the 400 years.
Yeah, fair. Nice.
But even though we actually were in Egypt in slavery, in Egypt for 210 years.
Right.
The 400 years started with Yitzhak.
Right. Very nice. Okay. Yofi, how are we doing on time? 10 minutes. Lovely.
Did Rashi say anything?
No. We did the bit that he did say.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the story of Michal and David and what happened over there. So, like we said previously, Shaul considered that he didn't marry Michal to David, and instead he gave her to a chap called Great Tzaddik, can't call him a chap, that's for sure. A great tzaddik called Palti Ben Laish. So we're going to look at him and that situation for a minute. Ketiv Palti, or Ketiv Paltiel. We find in the Pasukim that in some places called Palti, in some places called Paltiel. It's not such a huge difference. And we see that a lot of places in Tanakh, even bigger differences in names than Palti and Paltiel, but it's significant enough that the Gemara wants to know why in one place, why the change. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan explains like this. Palti Shmo, Palti was his real name, Balamane Krashmo Paltiel, so why is he called Paltiel? Shepilto El Min Ha'aveira. Pilto El means Hashem saved him Min Ha'aveira, from the sin. From the sin, from sinning with Michal. What's the sin with Michal? Well, he wasn't allowed to actually be with her because she was King David's wife. She was actually married to King David. Shaul disagreed, either top whether he, let's say, looking favorably, he halachically had a different viewpoint that she wasn't married. But either way, we know that the halacha followed David and she was married to David. And so it would have been a big sin if Palti had been with Michal. So God saved him from that. Ma'asa, what did he do? Na'atz cherev beino levena. He embedded a sword between him and her, right in the bed. Between him and her. Amar kola osek v'davar zeh yidaker v'cherev zeh. Anyone who engages in that act will be stabbed with this sword. Right? A small seaman, a reminder to stay on your side of the bed. So sweet. Right? Vahakativ, and it's written, Vayelech ita isha. So it's written, the Gemara now wants to know, later on in the Pasuk, in Shmuel, it's written that Vayelech, he went with her husband. Isha here means her husband. Her husband Palti went with her. So the Gemara wants to know, how can it be that the Pasuk describes him as her husband if what we're saying is that he was never with her, right? He refrained from being with her, therefore she was never really her husband, right? They lived together, the same house, they weren't really her husband. So how can the Pasuk describe her as being her husband, his husband? Her husband, that's the word, Yofi, English. Her husband, how can the Pasuk describe it? It doesn't make sense. So answer, Shena Asala Keisha. He acted towards her like a husband. He treated her like a husband. Yeah, he did all this stuff, but he wasn't with her, right? He treated her like a husband.
Same situation.
It's a similar learning. He raised her like a wife. He looked after her, and he was considered to be, he got as if. Okay, but the Gemara wants to say, v'hakatir, but it's also written, v'haluch u'bachor, he was walking and crying. Why was he walking and crying? Right? He was walking and crying after she went back to David. Why is he walking and crying after she went back to David? Right, why was he so upset? He should have been relieved. Right? Should have been like, thank God, right? Take her back. If that was really the case, that he, if what we're saying, that he knew that she was really married to David and he stayed away from her, and you know, that's a big difficulty. He should be very happy when she left. Right, why is he crying? Answer, Al ha mitzvah da azilmine. On the mitzvah that left him. He lost the mitzvah, the huge mitzvah of refraining from being with her. And Tom, now he was just plain old Palti. He didn't have that huge mitzvah of not. That was a huge mitzvah to refrain from being in that situation. Right, no one should put themselves in that situation. But now he knew that he lost that mitzvah of refraining. The person who holds himself back.
Palti.
Palti was crying. So the guy says, "Why is he crying?" Answer: because he didn't have that mitzvah anymore. Huge mitzvah that.
Refraining.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if having children by him, that would be a big mitzvah.
It wasn't his wife. No, that's it. It's not a mitzvah to have children with someone else's wife.
But he slept in the same bed, and they slept, and they treated her like a wife.
So yeah, that doesn't mean anything. It just means that he was nice to her. It's not her, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to treat someone nicely like a wife, but you're not allowed to sleep with her. That's the forbidden thing.
Right.
So what were you saying?
Like at the end, when she was given to her correct husband,
yeah,
he regretted that he was kept from the mitzvah of maybe of at some time in the future having a child.
He can't. It's not his wife.
He couldn't.
It's not his wife.
Until she was, well, she wasn't his wife. She could have been.
Not while she was David's wife.
No.
Not while she was David's wife.
Well, she wasn't until he was taken, so she was given to
him. No, she was always his wife. That's why he refrained from being with her. He didn't refrain because he knew that someday she was going to marry David. He refrained because she was married to him. He exchanged her for the foreskins, so to speak. That was a valid kiddushin. Done. She's now Erosin. Right? So he's not allowed to be with her.
So why was he?
Because Shaul the king, who was the king, said, "Take my daughter and marry her." He didn't want to go against the king. So he said, "Fine, okay, come into my home. I'll make the table for you. I'll make you a nice bed, right? But, you know, I'm just sitting here playing cards, right? We're not doing anything else." Okay. So that was the reason why he cried, right? Because he lost the mitzvah of refraining from being there. The Gemara says, "Ad Bachurim," right? The end of that verse, which says that he was walking and crying, says that he accompanied Michal to David. He brought her back to David. Ad Bachurim. He went Ad Bachurim. So pshat is until the place called Bachurim. That's where he took her to. Said, "Tom, you can walk from here. I've accompanied you this way." He lives down there, second house on the left. "See you later." Right? And they stopped at a place called Bachurim. But the Gemara now makes a drush from that. What does it make a drush? It said, "Na'asu shneihem kebachurim." It's as if the two of them were like Bachurim. Shalot hamu ta'ambiya. They hadn't experienced the ta'am of relations. Right? They were like Bachurim. They were like friends. Right? That's how they were together. Yofi, I think we'll go to there because the next piece is a sugya in itself, which takes us to the end of the mission, to the new Mishnah.